This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. And we're going to talk today to Stephen Hunter. Yes, he is the one. He's written a new book called G-Man. It's a very interesting black and white and yellow cover. I love this cover. It's a Bob Thanks. Lee Swagger novel. Hello, how are you?
I am fine. How are you, David?
Right. And this is published by Blue Rider Press, which is a division of Penguin. You've written a lot of books.
I guess I have.
I'm sure you realize that. It must feel
well,
good.
Well, they're sort of blurry, as a matter of fact, but I'll try and remember if you insist.
Right. I mean, I'm enjoying G-Man, even as I was enjoying it right before I got on the phone with you. And it's just a very enjoyable book. I mean, there's a lot of detail. You must love guns, I've noticed.
I wouldn't say an obsession, but it's a central theme of my life. They're fascinating, both for good reasons and bad reasons. They have charisma, allure, at least to me. One of the things that sort of animates my books is my desire to portray them accurately and honestly, because I know there's so much ridiculous stuff on TV and in the movies, you know, guys diving through windows sideways, shooting a Beretta in each hand,
right, yes,
in slow motion, you know. I'm just sick of that stuff, so I'm just offering a counter version, if you will.
Yeah, even Clint Eastwood probably got it wrong at some point, too.
Yeah, he did. And I told him so, and he was really mad.
No, you really did tell him?
No, I did ask him about it, and I mean, he's so shrewd that he understood I was a gun guy, and he immediately became very pro-gun. Mm. And I know that if I had said something nasty about guns, he would have immediately become very anti-gun. I mean, he was in the business of selling his movies, so
right.
I can't hold that against him. He's a pro.
He is a pro. He'll be a legend forever.
People
just love him. I mean, they just love him. And people love your books. I mean, your books are very popular. Now, a friend of mine told me that The Third Bullet was one of the best things she's ever read. She thought it was one of the best Kennedy things that were ever written.
Well, I worked really hard on that book. I put a lot of, I think, rigorous thought and analysis into it, and took what I thought was a novel strategy to it, and I am extremely proud of that. It's not really my function to tell the world how good I am,
right.
But that book is, I think it's probably one of my best. I do think it's well done, and I think as a document of analysis on and about the Kennedy assassination, it's a pretty solid piece of work.
All right, let's talk about G-Man, because this goes back and forth from 1934 all the way to present, but
that's
back and
right.
forth. So when did you decide to write this book, and why did you decide to write it?
Well, I've wanted to write a Babyface Nelson book for years and years, because I have thought that the stories told, particularly in the movies, but also in narrative, about the year 1934 are all wrong. And I want to fix that. I'm a great fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they tell the story, it's about the FBI agent Melvin Purvis versus the great bank robber John Dillinger. Point of fact, Melvin Purvis was eased out of the FBI, and he was being made to disappear all through 1934. And John Dillinger was, A, eliminated from the scene very early in that year, and B, wasn't particularly dangerous, wasn't particularly lethal. The only man he killed accidentally by a ricochet, and he was hardly he was hardly the kick-ass, scared of nothing bandit that people think he was. The real bad guy was Babyface Dillson. Babyface was a stone killer. He liked gunfights. He liked guns. He liked bank robberies. He loved being a bank robber. At one point, he stood on a street corner in downtown South Bend, Indiana, and pulled the trigger and machine gunned the whole town. And his gunfights, his bank robberies were very violent. He was pursued by an FBI agent named Sam Cowley, who was not really a gunfighter, who may never have fired a gun before in his life. But Sam ran the office and, by a trick of fate that no author could invent, ended up 50 yards from Babyface Nelson on November 27th, 1934, both of them with Tommy guns.
And they're both in the book. They're both in the book.
They're both in the book. And Babyface Nelson is one of the key characters in the book, and so is Sam. Now, I do bring Charles Swagger, Bob Lee Swagger's grandfather, in because he's a. I've got to get a Swagger in there. I have a.
Right.
I have an obligation to. I have fan base that wants that, and I've enjoyed writing about the Swaggers and filling in the Swagger family tree. But the main thing about this book, I think, is that I want people to understand the real 1934, not the 1934 of legend. And in this case, the real 1934 is, in my opinion, much more interesting and much more dramatic and much more exciting than the mythological 1934.
So everything that you talk about Dillinger and Babyface, it's based on what you've read about them.
Yeah, now I will say I do make some amendments. Everything I say happened. But I do amplify and or extend in certain ways. That's my right as a novelist. That's why I write novels instead of histories.
Right. But Babyface Nelson really had two children, though, and a wife.
Yes, he did, indeed. In fact, that was one of the, to me, that's why he's so interesting. I've never encountered a personality like this. He was on the one half, he was an extremely aggressive, violent criminal. He was very bold. He was even brave. He was into machine gun warfare three times a week for, you know, the entire year. That's slightly exaggerated. But his bank robberies always ended up as gun battles. He wore armor, bulletproof vest. He was hit several times, and the vest saved his life. He was, as I say, extremely violent, aggressive, nasty gunfighter and bank robber. On the other hand, he loved his wife. She traveled with him. He loved his two kids. His idea of fun times wasn't going to the nightclubs with Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd. His idea was going to the zoo with his wife and kids. You know, he was really a homebody. And I literally don't know how to reckon. I mean, I had trouble as a novelist trying to figure out by what psychological principle I could reconcile those two completely opposing halves. And in the end, I couldn't come up with it. He just was what he was. He was that way. The record shows it indisputably. And, you know, if it weren't documented, if he were a totally fictitious character, people would say, oh, that's ridiculous. No one could be that way. But that's exactly the way he was.
Now, Charles Swagger, he's kind of infiltrating these guys? Is that what he's doing?
He's not infiltrating them. Here's what happened. When Hoover took over the FBI, he had been a clerk there. He became the director, I think, in late 27, maybe 26, maybe 28. I'm more interested in 1934. But his idea of the FBI was as an elite college-educated force. And, of course, college educations were much rarer in the 30s than they are now. And to be an FBI agent for a long time, you had to have either a law degree or a degree in accountancy because he knew a lot of crime was involved in financial shenanigans. Or you had to be a chemist or someone useful in the forensic community. But he learned that these guys, as good as they were at scientific crime detection, weren't too good with Tommy guns. So to get up to speed fast, he recruited a bunch of gunfighters, mostly Western detectives and sheriffs, men and Southern men who had been in gunfights, who knew what a gunfight was, who had a gift for the firearm, who were skilled marksmen to begin with. And in fact, the FBI agent who killed Dillinger, a guy named Dave Winstead, was a very gifted gunfighter and a fearless guy. But in any event, what I have done is I have made my fictitious Charles Swagger, a sheriff in Arkansas, I've made him one of the guys it was called a division then, not a bureau, that the division brings in to face the heavily armed bad guys. And we watch Charles chart his way through. The mystery of the book is we know that at some point, Charles does something so wrong by FBI standards that not only is he fired in exile, but his paperwork is erased. He's like someone in Stalin's Russia who's erased by the regime. And one of the things that Bob wants to do is find out what it was and why it happened and what his father really did and what the real story of that event was. And constructing that was not easy. Let me tell you that, young man. It was not easy, but it was a great pleasure when I was finally done with it.
Right. Now, what do you think of the TV show they made of Point of Impact, the shooter? Is it shooter?
Well, I understand. You know, you have to be realistic and professional about these things. What any author wants is what only one author has gotten, and that author would be Tom Harris. And he got an unbelievably immaculate version of Silence of the Lambs. And no, they have always made changes in the books. For example, the demographics demand that Bob be a young man. My Bob is 71 years old. No one wants to see a TV show about a 71-year-old man.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even, Jack Nicholson can get a TV show these days. So they have to make him younger. So if they make him younger, they've got to change a whole lot of things. And my feeling is that if I cash the checks, and I do cash the checks, I ought to shut up about the shows. And I think that for what it was, the first season of Shooter was very good, although, to be honest, there was I hope they don't get angry at me for saying this, there was a considerable deviation in quality of the episodes. I thought the first four episodes were very good. I thought it got kind of shaky in the middle episodes, and I thought the last two episodes were very good. So I'm very grateful. I think they worked really hard. I know that there are requirements. They have an agenda that they have. For example, USA carries a lot of wrestling. So it was decided that they had to get a wrestler into the show. So there's one of the episodes, they move this wrestler in. It had nothing to do with anything I ever wrote. He played the head of a militia. It was a completely, excuse me, ridiculous episode. And I told the producer that, and he said, Steve, you know, you're right, but it was a network imperative. It was one of the things we knew going in. So I can't hold that against him. So
it happens. It
was,
what are you going to do?
It happens.
It doesn't
what are you
going to
do?
Doesn't take away from your writing. So that's the good part.
The book is still there at Amazon.
Well, I'm enjoying G-Man. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet, but I'm enjoying reading it. And then I think a lot of people are going to...
Thank you so much.
The historical aspect of it, I think people are going to really love the fact that...
I hope so.
What are you working on now for the next book? Anything?
Nothing. Nothing, no.
I've never had an author tell me that. Yeah, I always,
I've actually got some ideas that I've been working on, but I almost being a success, as I guess I am, is it's kind of a trap, because now I feel that I don't want to let people down. I don't want to start something half-assed just to get in the marketplace again.
Yeah, so that's understandable.
I'm trying to come up with something, something that's up to the standards of what I believe I've already done.
Now, you do what you need to do. That's what authors do, and that's what authors should do. And it's
a very good point.
And you just need to, we'll just wait and see what comes next with you. That's all there is to it.
That's it.
Hopefully
that's
we have more time next time when you have another book out and we can talk more in detail. Because
I would love to do that.
Because you're an interesting man. I'd love to talk more with you. But this has been,
Thank you, we have to let you go though.
This has been David's Book Talk.
Oh, so it goes.
Yeah, this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.